Morning comes from Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning at verse 30 and continuing through verse 32. When Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" Amen. Today is the fourth in a series of five messages that I've been preparing on this portion of Luke's Gospel that talks about the two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. And we saw in the first message of how the two disciples were grieving for their loss. Jesus had been their friend, their leader, their teacher for two or three years, and now he had been crucified just as before he had been raised from the dead, and they were grieving for that loss. And then we saw how Jesus appeared to them, and he was walking down the road with them, and he was sharing with them the truth about what God has for us out of the Word of God. And that we can always know that, God's Word is here for us, and in His Word we can find not only Jesus revealed to us, we also find God's will for us and an understanding of His love. And then we saw how that as the people began, the two men began to hear Jesus talking with them, they invited Jesus to come into their home. Our home is our castle. That's where we feel the safest. And only those people that we really want to touch our life and to share our life do we invite to come in and to sit down at a table and to share a meal with us. And we looked at that message about the importance of each of us giving Jesus an invitation to come into our lives. And he can reveal himself to us and his will for our lives. Today, we find that when Jesus comes in, he sits down at the table, and it's actually in something as ordinary as taking a piece of bread and breaking it that he's revealed to them. And then he leaves from them, but their lives are changed forever. And next month we'll talk about some of the ways their lives were changed forever. But today, as we think about the service of communion and what was going on at that table where Jesus sat down and broke the bread, I want us to think about what God is trying to do in the lives of each of us through this invitation that we give him to come and to share in our life, what we call Holy Communion. As you and I are in this sanctuary, the greatest needs that we have in our life are the need to be loved, the need to be accepted, the need to have a sense that our life matters, at least to somebody, that our life has some sort of value or worth or dignity, that when our time is over on this earth, somebody can say it was good that we lived, that the world's a little better place because we were here, our family is a better place. Y'all know that in order to sustain our physical life, we need to be able to breathe air, we need to be able to eat food, we need to be able to drink water. And I've got two nurses in the back that I've called here just for today that will verify the truth of what I've just said. You take away any one of those three, and what happens, nurses? You die. All right, we got unanimous here. We die. We know that. I want to suggest to you this morning a spiritual truth. that if you deny yourself love, if you're denied acceptance, if you deny your life a sense of worth and meaning, you might as well be dead. Because the quality of your life is going to be so diminished that you're just going to be miserable. I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. I think I've seen evidence of it in all of my ministry, in all of my life. Love is a verb. Love is something that we do. Love is something that we choose to do. And because it's a verb, love requires action. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Most of the love songs talk about feeling. They talk about emotion. But love is a choice that we make to extend a part of ourselves to another person, to protect another person, to provide for another person. Love is what we do for our children. We provide a place for them to live and clothes on their back and meals. We're taking responsibility for them because we care about them in a way that we call love. And we need to have a sense that we're loved. We're all looking for relationships in which we can have a sense that we're loved. That may be within our family, it may be our children, it may be a husband or a wife, it may be a close relative, it may be a neighbor. It depends where we are in life's journey, but the thing that we need is to know that we matter to another person. And if they're going to do things to help us sustain life because they care about us, they love us, that we're important, we're valuable to them as a friend or whatever that relationship may be. People are looking to be loved. People are also looking to be accepted. And there's a big difference between love and acceptance. Ask any teenager, and they'll tell you immediately, there's a big difference between love and acceptance. All of us as parents who have raised teenagers understand this. We know that we love our kids. We provide for our kids. We send them to school. We put clothes on their back. We put food out there. We try to give them parameters, boundaries to live within that will sustain their life and get them pointed in the right direction that they'll have a good life. But sometimes these young people tend to reject the values and the beliefs that we hold dearly. We may think that short hair is appropriate, and they may think that long hair is appropriate. Our young men think they may just look well with an earring, and we think, no, earrings belong with the ladies. They may have a whole different interest in music than we have an interest in. And they may become bored with the church and the fellowship of the church and want to seek their own way. A lot of times, as parents, we interpret this as rejection of that which all that we hold dear. We still love them. We still care about them. But we have a hard time embracing them and accepting them just as they are with their own values and beliefs. We want them to be just like us. We don't want them to be their own selves, at least not when they're a teenager. Well, young people understand that. They pick up on that. And if they don't feel accepted, they're going to go hang out with somebody that accepts them just as they are. A lot of times they hang out with folks that can cause them a lot of problems and lead them in a way that may really hurt them and take them away from the protection that you want to provide as a family. Now that same truth applies in a lot of relationships. It applies in husband-wife relationships. Sometimes we have a hard time accepting each other for the different values and beliefs that we have. The love is there, but the acceptance is missing. Can you see that? Can you understand that difference between love and acceptance? Are y'all with me on that? Does it make sense? Just as important as having a sense that we are accepted is having a sense that our life matters. That our life matters. That we're doing something with our life that makes a difference. I've got a friend of mine that's fond of saying that if he had $1 million, he'd farm till it was all gone. And if you all know anything about farming, you know it's near about impossible to make money farming, so eventually it would be all gone. He loves to farm. Now, that's not his full-time job. He has a job. That job requires hard work and long hours. But it's not the kind of a job that you sit around and brag about that brings you any particular status. What it brings you is an opportunity to work long hours and get very dirty. So what does he do? He farms on the side. Because why? That brings him joy, and it makes him feel that his life matters when he drives up in the evening and he sees those crops that are coming up in his field. And a lot of times in the springtime, he's on that tractor well into the evening when you need headlights to be plowing and taking care of that field. In effect, he works two jobs. Why? Because that second job is the one that makes him feel like his life matters as he's bringing in these crops. He just doesn't have a sense that his other vocation that provides for his family is sufficient. And he's looking for something either through a hobby or an avocation that brings him that sense that his life matters. He has worth, he has value, he has dignity. It's an honorable thing to be a farmer. Well, we've all known people that are like that in different ways. People that work in factories that do the same repetitive thing over and over have a real difficulty thinking their job amounts to anything. And a lot of times they get very involved in hobbies or other pursuits, trying somehow to be occupied with some space and some time in their life that brings them the message, my life matters. These are compelling needs within our life. You would do wrong to underestimate how strong these three needs are in your life. I would suggest to you this morning that they are the most powerful needs in your life. And that we all, as a group, as people in this world, spend more energy, more money, more time trying to get love and acceptance and worth than we do anything else. We need to remember that our Heavenly Father, who created us, put these needs in us. He knows that they're there, and He's the only one that can meet these needs. He's the only one that can meet these needs. He loves us. What is love? Love is a verb. Love is action. Love is seeking after somebody. Read the Bible and you find that God has been seeking after you from the very beginning. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. His grace has been reaching out for you, trying to woo you and to love you and to bring you unto Himself from the very moment that you were created. His soul, His spirit is restless until He finds peace with you because He's looking for you to have this relationship of love. And He accepts you. He accepts you just as you are. What does the Scripture teach us about this? Does it not say that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? John 3:16 says that God loved us so much that He gave His only Son for each of us in this room, that we could be reconciled unto Him and have a relationship with Him. He loves us that much, and He loves us so much that He accepts us just as we are. While we are still in a state of sin and fallen, He reached out to love us without judgment, but let His love reach out that it could transform our life. Worth? What is your worth to God? Well, if He allowed Himself through Christ Jesus to be a sacrifice that you might be redeemed, you might come back into a fellowship with Him, doesn't that say something about your worth to Him? He gave all that He had to have a relationship with you. And not only is your worth to God so great that He gave all that He had to have a relationship with you, He has risked His entire kingdom on you. on you. Because the Scriptures teach us that God has put His Spirit within us. Those of us who called upon the name of Jesus for salvation, God has put His Spirit in us. He's endowed us with the very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that we could go forth and do the work of God in this world, bringing all of God's people back unto Him, where we could live in a time where all people are loved and all people are accepted just as they are, and that God's Spirit is working through all of us. Now stop and think about that for a minute. Can your life, what is it that you can do? What is it that you can do with your life that is greater than what God can do through your life to reach another soul, that you can share with them the good news of Jesus Christ, that they too could be reconciled with God, that you could share with them what God has done for you in your life, that they too could know the peace of God? Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says, "Don't you know that we worship the God of all mercies, and that God showers us with mercy in every affliction, every difficulty that we have, so that we can turn around and share with others the same mercy, the same comfort that we've received from God? We pass it on." Now, what is there that you can ever do in this world that is greater than that? I suppose if you were a gifted surgeon and could save life, that you could make an argument that that's probably of equal worth. And I won't debate that with you. I would think that if you're a gifted surgeon and that you could bring back to life where there was no life, that is a gift. That is a gift of God. But in the ebb and flow of life, dear ones, I don't know what there is that we can do in this world, whether we're a policeman, whether we're a musician, whether we're whatever this world has to offer, that is greater than sharing with somebody else the goodness of God and what God has done in our lives, that they too could be reconciled with Him. And that's how important you are to God, that He has given you the keys to the kingdom. He has anointed you with His Spirit that you can go forth into the world and to share with your neighbors, with your family, with your friends, the goodness of God and the love of God. It's powerful. But that's the worth, that's the value that you have in God. And when we come together in the service of communion, it's a coming together where we can have a relationship with this God that gives us life. This communion service that we have is not a religious service. It's not something that you do in the church that makes us different from the rest of the world. It's not something that you do apart from your own active participation. But rather, when you come to this communion and you take this bread and you take this cup, it's a remembrance that God loves you completely, accepts you just as you are, and thinks that you're worthy of His love. He esteems you as capable and able of being His child and a minister for Him. And it's a way that you can come into this communion with Him and experience again and anew the very presence of the risen Savior in your life. And remember what is the source of your life. Because with the Spirit of Christ within us, God touches us at a place that the world cannot touch us. God has given us this gift of life. The world cannot take it away from us. It's a gift of God. And coming together as a church in a time of communion is a time of remembering this precious gift of life life eternal that God has given each of us. It's a time of remembering that our strength and our joy and the essence of our life is derived from God who loves us. I want you to take just a few moments this morning before I bless the bread and before I bless the cup and before we sing the little chorus, Fill My Cup. I want just in the quietness of this sanctuary for each of you to take a few moments and think about your life. Think about your happiness in life. How are things going in your life? Where are you struggling in your life? Are your relationships where you want them to be? With your friends, with your family, with your neighbors? A lot of times, I think if we'll take a few moments and just think about these and let the Holy Spirit guide our thoughts, we'll find out that a lot of times we're trying to get our love in all of the wrong places. We're trying to get our acceptance in all the wrong places. And we're trying to get a sense of our own worth and value in all of the wrong places. We're letting the world define who we are. We're letting the world put labels on us. We're letting other people set the agenda for our life so that when other people act like they love us and they're kind, and they're accepting toward us, what happens? We find that our spirits are elevated. But what if we get crossways with some of these other people? What if they reject us in love? What if they don't accept us in our struggles and where we are right now? We find our spirits come low. Dear ones, God did not mean for us to ride a roller coaster of life and our emotions. But He wants to raise us up to that constant level where we understand that it's God who loves us and fills our heart with the wonder of His love and acceptance. He's the one that esteems us as having lives that have worth and dignity and value in them. When we turn our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, we find that our needs for love and acceptance are fulfilled. It doesn't mean we're not going to be hurt by the world. It doesn't mean we're not going to be hurt by relationships that don't work out or they're strained at times. Yes, we will feel the pain of rejection and abandonment and difficulty in this world, but we'll also rest on the rock-solid truth of God's love for us. And what we'll find is that when we allow God to love us, when we realize that God has been seeking after our lives and He wants us to rest in His love, we find then that we have something that we can give to other people. Because when we're looking for other people to satisfy our needs, all we're doing is taking love from them. What do we have to give in return? But when God is filling our needs with His love, then we can love other people as unconditionally as God loves us. We don't have to have other people jump through hoops and perform and do all sorts of things to satisfy our needs. We can love and accept them just as they are because why? God loves us and He accepts us just as we are. Dear ones, can you hear that this morning? That God's love for you will satisfy the longing of your hearts. It's real. He wants to wrap His arms around you and love you. And communion is about that. Communion is about coming together with the God who loves you and remembering that it's His love, His acceptance, and His worth in you brings us the quality of life that we long for so much. Let's take just a few moments in quietness. Let the Holy Spirit go through your minds and your hearts, reveal to you where you might be clinging to other people, longing to other people, searching in other places for love and acceptance. And then we'll come together in just a few moments and break the bread and share the cup and celebrate the good news that in Christ the longings of our heart are met. Let's pray quietly together.